The human spirit is unconquerable. We are individuals and we are sovereign, born with unlimited potential, gifted from our creator. Our mission is to break free from the systems that bind us.
I volunteer as tribute.
We strive for peace and prosperity and overcome all challenges, roadblocks, and obstacles. We are empowered because we think for ourselves and we act for ourselves. We are self-reliant and independent, but guided by the wisdom of those who share our values.
What possible difference can I make?
There is no government, no ruler, nor ideas that are able to stop us. We are driven to succeed because we seek political freedom, financial freedom, and spiritual freedom.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
This is Mike Corbell, and you are listening to The Invictus Mind. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Invictus Mind podcast, the number one show dedicated to becoming unconquerable through personal growth, self-improvement, and association, where every discussion helps us achieve political freedom, financial freedom, and spiritual freedom. This is your host, Mike Corbell, and I'm happy to be here, happy for the listeners, and happy to have this special episode for you today. You might be asking, why is it special? Well, it is because my guest and I are on location at the Audio Hive Podcast Studio located in Joliet, Illinois. This place is very nice, and my friend Brian McKenna put this together for local business owners and podcasters to have a quality studio to record their message and get it out to their people. But before we get started today, I wanted to remind everyone that the Invictus Mind podcast can be found in all your favorite podcast players, including Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, CastBox, and Anchor.fm. If you like this show and find it add value, please subscribe to it, and you can share it with three of your friends. You can also leave a review and let us know what you like, what you don't, and help us cater this message to what you feel is important for this mission. Finally, if you want to receive updates, show notes, or information about business opportunities and events, you can join the Invictus newsletter by texting the word Invictus, I-N-V-I-C-T-U-S, to the number 33777. All right, joining me today is a gentleman I met about 3 or 4 years ago when I was actively involved on a political scene and would go to events like parades, conventions, and weekly meetings within the Libertarian Party. I will let him tell more about himself, but here's what I know about him. He is currently the chair of the Libertarian Party and the DeKalb, Illinois chapter. He did run for state representative. He's a father of three and is a general contractor in the masonry industry. How are you doing today, John?
Good, good. Just to correct the record, my father is the mason, and I'm just a lowly laborer, so, but I'm doing good. It was a nice drive out here, about an hour and a half, and had a lot of thinking to do on the way here, so I'm ready to talk now, pour it all out.
Well, this is the place to think and to discuss such topics, so I want to invite you on the podcast, because we had a Facebook conversation not too long ago, yep. And you challenged me. You said something that I think that a guy like me would really respond to you. You actually called me a coward.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember that or
that
not.
That wasn't very nice of me.
But, you know, I wasn't triggered by the word coward, but you challenged me to have this discussion on the podcast. And I wanted to invite you on because, you know, we're not adversaries. We're playing for the same team here.
That's right.
But I think our approach to this issue and various issues within the world of libertarianism can be tackled from two different angles.
Well, tons of angles. I mean, it just depends on you know. Liberty depends on who you are, and so we there's many ways to get there. You know, my path's been through the Libertarian Party, and I've been in the party for now close to 5 years, and so I feel that's the best way I can serve my principles, my political principles, and I'm not going to disparage other people for having their own way of doing that. You know, I'm somebody who wants to help and serve other people so that we can all have liberty. And so whatever that looks like to you, Michael, I'm not going to be mad at you. I mean, of course I'm going to invite you to come back to the party because that's where we met. And I think most, if you're a libertarian, you belong in the Libertarian Party. I mean, small L, big L, even if you're not, even if you're Bill Weld, you can come into the party if you want to, and you'll probably leave. But, we have to accept that we are a big tent. And people that are not perfect libertarians are going to come into our tent, look around, and some of them will stay and some of them will go. The cool thing about our party is, like, we aspire to liberty, not authority. And we want to empower people to empower themselves, I suppose, and take authority over their own lives. And so that's the thing about Republicans and Democrats is they often seem like they seem self-righteous, and they want to impose their ideas of freedom onto others. And as a party, we say we don't know how we don't know how you are to live to pursue your own happiness. So, freedom and responsibility, that's how you get to liberty, right? And so, we want people to be free, but in order to do that, you have to be responsible. So, we don't need a government to tell us how to be responsible. But if we are not responsible ourselves, then the government will.
I agree with about 99% of what you're saying right there.
Tell me the 1%. Come on.
Well, first I do want to mention it again. We did meet when I was active in the Libertarian Party. This was probably 2017. We had the convention. Larry Sharp was in Illinois here, and he was at the convention. I don't know if that was the first time I met you.
It would have been, yeah.
But I met my wife within the Libertarian Party, as you
same
did too,
here.
Right?
Yep. If you want to find a good wife, go to the Libertarian Party. Sign up.
There are some good women there, although a lot of people don't appreciate the women that are in the party, but there are some good ones there.
That's true. There's some good men there too. So, you'll find we've both found really good people within the party. So,
When I first joined, I was gung ho about politics. I was, I'll briefly share with you my story. I was raised in a conservative household, mainly Republican, although my parents weren't really active in any kind of party or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I was introduced to libertarianism through Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Most people that I associate with know that guy, and my brother introduced him to me. And so it was about 2016. I was just going through some life changes, and I discovered the Libertarian Party, and I ran into a local chapter in my town, and I made some good friends. But I think a lot has happened since that time, 2016. We have 4 years of the era of Trump that I don't know if it permanently changed this country, but it made me think a lot about politics in general.
Yeah. I mean, he was a very, he was a catalyst for a lot. And, I think like most presidents, he's not as bad as his most fervent detractors say, but he's also not as good as his most fervent supporters say. So, what do we learn? We should learn things from the, our founding fathers and our current presidents and, so Donald Trump is no longer the president. He's moved on, and now Joe Biden's the president. So we can learn something about him. And what can we take from Donald Trump? Donald Trump spoke plainly, and he was bold. And that's what propelled him to victory. And so maybe the Libertarian Party can learn something from that. Maybe we should be bold about our principles. Maybe we should be... talk simply about them, break them. That's the thing. I mean, we appeal to so many people because these principles are so broad that they need refinement. We need to tell people what we're for and stop trying to tell them what we're against, because no one cares. No one cares what we're against. They care about what we're for. And when we tell them what we're for, they're like, whoa, that's awesome. I like that. And so what are we for? We're for three things. It's right there in the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so we should be, in my view, we should be a pro-life party. We are in every single way, except maybe one. We make an excuse for one. And so we should be a pro-life party. And not everyone's going to like that. But for the most part, I mean, when you talk to people who can call themselves pro-choice, I mean, we are a pro-choice party too, except for one way. Because if we apply the non-aggression principle to its logical conclusion, then you don't have the right to take life into your own hands. It doesn't... or others' lives into your own hands, I should say. It's not for you. So I think, at the very least, we support life in every other way. So we need to in that way. And so pro-liberty. So what's that? So if you have your life, you have liberty, right? So you have freedom and responsibility if you have liberty, right? So we are pro freedom and we are pro a responsibility because we know that those good things go hand in hand, because if you're not responsible, then people won't trust you, right? Mm-hmm. And if they don't trust you, then they'll say, well, I'm going to go, you know, for example, I'll give you an example. And in my community, it's both rural and urban, DeKalb County. And so DeKalb is the epicenter. It's the big population. It's got the college and everything, right? And so they just had a referendum on chickens, or a ballot initiative on backyard chickens, right? So, I mean, I think a rural community, if Naperville and Chicago can have backyard chickens, so can DeKalb, and so can DeKalb County, because not all chicken enthusiasts live in the country. Some of them live in the city. And so if they're responsible, there's no reason for anybody to give them any grief about it, right? So go talk to your neighbor, say, hey, I'm going to get some chickens. I promise I won't have any roosters. I don't want to bother you. And I'll be responsible for them. And hey, man, if you want some eggs, come on over and ask. So, so we should encourage at every level of government that people be responsible so that people can be free, right? And so, yeah, and that starts at the local level. So we win. The Libertarian Party wins at the local level. And so that's to be, you know, it's not the only focus. You know, you got to run at every level, of course, but you're going to have the most success at the local level, and then you can move on to county and state and, you know, federal, but one thing at a time, right?
All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our awesome sponsor for today's show, which is Pack Crest Botanicals. If you listen to episode 55 of this show, then you heard my conversation with Michael Pickens. He is the CEO of Pack Crest Botanicals, which offers the highest quality herbal supplements, natural topicals, and CBD hemp products. They also carry Delta 8 vape cartridges. Now, Delta 8 is fully legal in all 50 states, and unlike regular Delta 9 cannabis, when you take it, you get a nice relaxing body sensation without the anxiety or paranoia you sometimes get with recreational products. With Pack Crest, your medicine gets shipped directly to your home. It comes in a little undisclosed box and ready to go. Pack Crest Botanicals also has full-spectrum tinctures, adaptogen teas, mushroom blends, and even topicals and balms. So go to packcrestbotanicals.com. The listeners of this program will get a 30% discount on their first order. Just type in the word Invictus at checkout. That's packcrestbotanicals.com with discount code Invictus for 30% off. They don't skimp on quality because the stuff they sell is the stuff they want to use. Now let's get back to the show.
Yeah, so the 1% that I think you and I don't see eye to eye is actually the need to have political parties in general. Mm. So what I've learned in my evolution over the last 4 years studying libertarian ideology is just the aspects of human nature, yeah, and the power structure. Mm-hmm. You know, John, I'm willing to concede that on a local level, there are some things that government is need for.
Yeah.
There's a market demand for government.
Yeah.
And it's my contention that people who empower themselves don't need political parties to actually run their lives. And so I guess you can call it more of an anarchist type of view.
Yeah.
Although we're not going to break down the definition of anarchy or anything like that right now. But just my time spending with the political party and the process, everything, mm-hmm. Not only was it really boring, you know, I'm thinking of the Robert's Rules of Order, yeah, and everything like that, and those party meetings where people are just fighting left and right.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think liberty is not necessarily something that you fight for, but something that you grab for yourself. It's almost like a force, like gravity.
Yeah.
It's out there for everybody. So if I want more liberty in my life, it would be my responsibility to achieve that in my life rather than try to vote for it. I don't think that you can really vote for more liberty.
Yeah. Well, it's you can. And here's the problem. Here's the problem within the electoral process, right? People don't vote for what they're for. They vote for what they're against. So they think that they have to vote for Republicans, and they think that they have to vote for Democrats because, or else the other guy will get in. And sometimes they're like, no, I actually like this guy, which is fine. I mean, vote for what, that's what a representative republic is. That's what we are. We're a representative republic. And while that still exists, and it probably will exist for the rest of our lives, Mike, you know, we should engage with it. We don't have to be entranced within it. We can move in and out. I mean, you're right. We should live lives that give us liberty, that, and we should take care of our families first, right? So, yeah, you serve your family and you teach your children to be responsible. And if you don't have children, you take care of your parents and you just take care of your family. And then in your excess, you can take care of your community. But we should engage in the political sphere because, one, it exists, and two, we have the right principles. So if we have the right principles, we don't have to be afraid of voting for the right people. So we have to discern who that is. It's not always, you know what? It's not always going to be the Libertarian. I mean, that's just the truth. I mean, if there's a Libertarian candidate, I'll probably be voting for them and supporting them, probably. So far, that's been the case. But, you know, since 2016, I don't think I've voted a straight ballot. You know, I vote for generally the top libertarians, you know, the president, governor, statewide, whatever, because generally speaking, they're the best option and that I believe in them, right? But you see, you get down the lower part where there are less L's, more R's and D's, then it just comes down to, okay, yeah, who's the better person for this job right now? And so it's not always easy to figure that out, but you should. And you should look through it, look at it from a liberty lens. What gives me more liberty, or you know, and so I will probably continue to vote for the best candidate in my view, which will generally be the Libertarian candidate. And where there's not a Libertarian candidate, I have a responsibility to see who serves these principles best.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people within our sphere of influence will say things like voting is violence. I'm sure you've heard that one before. And yeah. I don't want to go as far as saying voting is violence, but for me, I just think it's useless. You know, you did mention that we live in a representative democracy.
Yeah.
And really, what that means to me is that we're voting for somebody who's got the best idea, who we assume will do the job as we see fit.
Yeah.
I can argue that we don't really have true representation.
Oh, that's true. I mean, and that's a system problem. That's not necessarily the candidate's problem. Mm-hmm. You know, candidates are just serving ideas. And so the Libertarian Party candidates should serve the ideas of liberty. And so, and that's what the candidates for the Republicans and Democrats do. I mean, democracy is not perfect, right? And what is it? Winston Churchill said that it's the worst form of government except for all the other ones. Mm-hmm. And so I think the American experiment, you know, kind of refined European democracy, because straight democracy is not, it has its own issues. And so, yes, democratically elected representative republic is a pretty good system. It's not perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect system. You know, if you want to find a perfect system, then just that starts at your house trying to fix that. And so you're right. You are right. But we have to do both. We can't, you know, that's why I use the word cowardly. Not because you are a coward, Michael. You've decided to take your responsibility, and that's noble and that's worthy. I'm just saying you can do both and you should do both. I encourage you to do both. So vote because it's important, because you know what liberty is. Mm-hmm. You know, me and you do, and better than most. And so I think if you know that and you want people to be free, then you have a responsibility to be free and be responsible, and you have a responsibility to try and serve others with your vote. So, because the system's going to exist anyways, mm-hmm. and I'm willing to concede that I don't know what's best for everybody. And so I kind of more so look at the local level as more important. So make sure, you know, when you're thinking about your voting, right, you should start with the municipals and make sure that you're voting well there. And and if you know how to vote well there, then you can learn how to vote at the state level and in the federal level, right? But so family, then the ballot box.
Again, I think we agreed 99% of that right there. Yeah. I am. Before we started recording, we talked about some of the podcasts that we both listened to, mm-hmm. and you mentioned Free Man Beyond the Wall and Pete Quinones.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if you're familiar with some of the things he's been saying, but in 2020, we can both agree that it was just a terrible year for liberty.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I'm a silver lining kind of guy. And so, you know, I don't know. There's good and there's bad, right? The good is that the Libertarian Party doesn't. I don't think we lost our base. You know, clearly, if you look at Gary Johnson's numbers from 2012, mm-hmm. and you Joe Jorgensen's were more, and so that's. I don't know. I don't know if that's a victory, but that's it's not a huge defeat. Now, obviously, you know, there's reasons to criticize Joe Jorgensen and Spike's campaign. I choose to just whatever. They're not going to be a perfect. There's no perfect ticket out there. And so you take what you can learn from it. And you go forward. And so now what? Now we have Joe Biden, right? And so I have the same exact thought when Joe Biden was elected as when Trump was elected, which just kind of like, okay. Like, all right, that's what the country chose.
We gotta deal with it either way.
Either way. So look for the silver lining. Yeah. You know, when Trump was elected, you know, when he was talking about fixing things, cutting taxes, bringing the troops home. Now, you know, bottom line is president just only has so much power, right? So Congress has to go along with it. And so I think here's what we have. Here's what we know. All right. After Trump was elected, right? He had a Republican government, right? Mm-hmm. And he could have done a lot. So he did a little bit. He reduced taxes. And those taxes are permanently cut from what I understanding of the tax code. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert, from what I understand, and I could be wrong, but those at the top got permanent cuts and everybody else got temporary cuts. So that shows you right there that Republicans, when in power, will cut taxes for their friends mm-hmm. and not you. So now we look at this government, right? And under Biden, those, and I should double check this before I say all those nonsense, but so go do your own study, but on the tax code, but I don't know when those expire, but now we have Biden, right? And so Biden's not some polarizing figure. He's kind of just your boring Uncle Joe, right? Mm-hmm. He's an institutionalist, and so he's just going to go along with the institution. He's going to sign more executive orders than anyone else. Why? Because the president before him signed more, and there's nothing constitutionally wrong from my understanding about executive orders, because all an executive order is saying, oh, Congress made all these laws and now I have to execute them. So the more laws you have, the more executive orders you have. And so Biden will probably pass up Trump. Maybe he'll surprise us. We'll see. But he signed a lot early. And so he has that authority granted by Congress. So Congress needs to stop abdicating and giving more responsibility to the president, because it's not good. You know, one man can't handle all that. And so Joe Biden, what can we take that's good from Joe Biden? I suppose we should look for that. Take a blue pill and see from his lens, you know, what's good. So immigration, right? It appears he might be about the same as Trump, right?
I'm understanding that there's a huge problem with the kids in cages, as they say, in the southern states, and that there's actually a larger problem there than there was under Trump. Yeah. But the media is just like cleverly ignoring that. And of course, the biggest problem is the media that we have in this world. Yeah. And you know, whatever Trump did was bad, and whatever Biden's either ignored or is good.
Yeah.
And so that's a huge problem that I'm looking at right now.
Yeah. Well, and then you know. How do we? Well, we fix that not by getting rid of the media, but just like flooding, making more media, right? I suppose. I mean, you're doing it. There's tons of libertarian podcasts out there, and so you know, pick and choose what's good for you and what you like and what helps you grow in your philosophy and what'll help serve you to. Gain your own independence, I suppose. So, I mean, we can criticize media, but we should just take it as it is. Try and take media at face value. Don't try to read into it extra. Just take it at face value. Mm-hmm. Pick and choose what you want. I wouldn't encourage people to have an echo chamber, but just like, okay, if I believe this, I'll I'll look into this, and then I'll take the skeptic's view of what I believe and use that. And so just a measured approach when it comes to media. I mean, read your local paper. That's where you're going to get the most truth, probably, and you're going to get the most truth about things that are important to you and really affect you to the day-to-day, right? So start there, because, you know, papers are dying. You know, we are in the information age, and so things are going to change media wise, and they are right now. I mean, everybody's got podcasts. Mm-hmm. You know, my kid's generation is going to be like part of like the curriculum, start your own podcast or something like that. So, yeah, so that's, you know, libertarians should take media into their own hands, and they have, and people like you, Mike, are doing that, and I appreciate that, and that's a realm that I might dabble in eventually, and technically, I'm dabbling in it right now. This would be, I think this is my second podcast. Yes, my second podcast I've done since being involved in the movement. And so, yeah.
So the reason why I brought up Pete Quinones is I've kind of done an ideological evolution,
yeah,
kind of like he has on his podcast. Mm-hmm. And when 2020 went down and everyone was locked down and, you know, everyone was scared of the economics behind, yeah, the stimulus packages and things like that, mm-hmm, he was doing a lot of talking about agorism. Are you familiar with the ideology?
You know, I've heard that one a lot, but is it based – so here's what I think it is. You tell me if I'm wrong. Is it basically just kind of like living as if government doesn't exist and just being independent of it?
Yes, it's actually creating counter economics, whether that's through cryptocurrencies, uh-huh, or doing your own thing as a business, and definitely not using the system as, yeah, it was designed.
Yeah.
Now, the evolution I've had, again, along the same lines as Pete, is that that's not going to work 100%.
No.
Not everyone's going to do that, and everyone can do that.
Yeah.
So, again, I can see that there might be a small part for a political party or, yeah, politics. And you mentioned a couple times at the local level.
Yeah.
I think that is probably the place where it's needed the most.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in my experience with the LP, it wasn't, that conversation wasn't apparent. It was,
yeah,
always like, who are we going to get to run as president? Who are,
yeah,
we going to get to do it? And that message just loses me. And,
yeah,
it really loses people.
Yeah. That's interesting. Well, I get why it does. I mean, why persist if after losing for 50 years? You know, I think, well, for me, it's just because it's a worthwhile venture. And it's not for everybody. I mean, you know, all I'm asking you to do is consider voting for us. That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm not, you know, I can't make you, obviously. My job's to try and convince you. And as libertarians, voluntarists, anarchists, whatever you call yourself, you just need to act that way. You need to live out those principles. And if you do that, I mean, you show people through your actions that these ideas work, because they do work. I mean, look at this, look at the pandemic. All right, mm-hmm, perfect example of why. And in initially, you know, all the headlines like, where are all the libertarians when when a pandemic happens? And like, taking care of themselves and their families like they always do. I mean, what's the first thing? So when the pandemic was, you know, revving up. First, the politicians were like, it's not a big deal. You'll be fine, right? And then what? After they realized, oh, no, this is going to be a problem for us, they put into place libertarian solutions. They cut regulations in order for us to quickly develop vaccines and to help people. And because at first they like punished people. At first they lied and said, no, this isn't a problem. And they said, no, these doctors, they don't know how to serve and take care of people out in Washington. So we're just going to threaten to take away your license. So that's problematic that the government is able to take away your license to serve people just because you don't listen to the CDC. I mean, I'm not saying the CDC is inherently a bad thing. I mean, I'm saying that, what's the word I'm looking for? Standards. There we go. Standards aren't a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
We should look at standards and take them for what they are, a standard. And so when it comes to the CDC, they set health standards. And so in this country, we have bad standards as people. I mean, we're unhealthy, so we shouldn't be surprised that this pandemic has devastated us so badly because we're not healthy. I mean, obesity, heart disease, cancer, I mean, it's all over the world, but it's exacerbated here because we're so prosperous, right? And so we shouldn't be surprised that the prosperous country is sick because people put their faith in the CDC to save them. You know, there's the CDC can set good standards if you're healthy, right? But if you're not healthy, you know, well, you can follow those standards if you're not healthy, but you're gonna have to be more proactive probably. I mean, like I've been pretty proactive with my health lately. You know, I'm very fortunate that I have the ability to do that. Not everybody can, but most people should. You should need to know your body and be able to take care of yourself. Functional medicine. Mm-hmm. So be able to function day to day. So I work with my hands, I work in the field. And so I have to have a strong body in order to do that. Not everybody can do that. I mean, and libertarians need to recognize that. You know, people, I think a lot of times scoff at the idea of ableism, which is not something, you know, I know enough about, but basically like the belief in the inability, right? And so the whole pandemic hurt people who were not able-bodied the most. And that's what we should have done. That's what the institutions should have done. That's what churches should have done. That's what governments should have done, is said, hey, who's going to suffer the most here? And how do we serve them, or how do we empower the healthy to serve them? So, you know, I'm healthy, and I live with people, or have people close to me, I suppose I should say, who are unhealthy, and so it's my job to serve them and to not put them in danger's way if I don't have to. And so, how do I do that? You know, we can wear a mask, sure. That might help. A mask is not a bad thing. It is a tool that you're to use at the proper time. Not all the time. I don't go home and keep the mask on. You know, I take it off when I get home. I have to wear it at work because it's my work's policy. So I'll wear it there. But you know, people realize that it doesn't save them, right? It's you put it on to say like, hey, you know, I care about you, and I'll put this on, but eventually they're going to all come off, right? Eventually we're not going to wear masks all the time. I mean, even, you know, people talk about Japan and Eastern countries that they wear masks, right, during like flu season or whatever, right? And so there's nothing wrong with that culture and doing that if you value that. But this culture doesn't value that. This culture values, what do we value? Service and country and God. So we should serve those three things in reverse order than the way I said them.
Well, you know, John, everything you said about standards and medical procedures, yeah, and that's all opinion-based, and it should be on the individual,
yes,
level.
Yes, agreed.
The biggest problem I have with the Libertarian Party in 2020 is that the messaging was absolutely horrendous.
Yeah.
One of the hugest problems that I saw facing this country was the, yeah, government response to the pandemic.
Yeah.
It wasn't the fact that we have some kind of sickness that people, you know, whether they're healthy or not, are getting affected. It was the government just said, we're going to lock everything, yeah, down. We're going to lock down the economy. You're not going to be able to go to work.
Yeah.
You know, the lie that they said, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. We can debate about that all day long.
Yeah.
But the government itself shutting down people's livelihoods was a bigger problem, in my opinion, than anything the actual, yeah, pandemic did. I know, for example, my wife was out of work for 2 months.
Yeah.
And she's horrified at the prospect of the government coming and shutting her down again at any time. Yeah. They've opened up that Pandora's box.
Yeah.
And now people have just generally accepted it. But where was the Libertarian Party condemning this? I didn't hear anything for several months about anything condemning. And that's what, in my opinion, the Libertarian Party should be doing the most. The government has, yeah, no authority, no right to say that you're not able to provide for your family.
Well, So I've been thinking about that. So there's two prongs. So there's two prongs actually within the Libertarian Party, right? So there's the radicals and pragmatics, right? And so the radicals are generally some of the better activists. Mm-hmm. And the pragmatics are generally the better candidates that have the best success because it's two pronged, right? You have to we have to run candidates who are pragmatic and they understand they can't do everything because there are structures of government that we're not going to just tear down. That doesn't make any sense. We can affect them. At the local level, we can take them down. I want to shout out to Aaron Wright, who just unfortunately lost an election in municipal race. It's his second time he's run. So he ran for trustee in Metro East area, and he lost by a very small margin. And so, but he won the last race he did, and he dissolved a unit of government, you know, an unnecessary small unit of government, because we need to stop. That's the problem with government. It just divides and divides and divides and divides and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so like townships in Illinois, right? There's too many of them. Mm-hmm. You know, we have towns, we have cities, and there's nothing wrong with like a voluntary township that takes care of things. That's fine. But you don't need to make a unit of government, a small unit of government that's doesn't need to do that. You can take care of that stuff at the local level by voluntary action. And so, and it starts in the home. If the home is broken, then yes, you're going to have more divisions of government. And so the radicals and the prags have always struggled to work together, but they're getting better at it as we move into like 50 years of having a party. And so I think we're going to really see a turn and we're going to see success. So in Illinois, for example, we've seen success. I mean, Cook County, the most populated, the most notoriously revered county, I suppose is a way to describe it, is an established county for the Libertarian Party because one guy ran. Mm. So run. Be an activist. Be a pragmatic radical. Because by the standards of normal people that see through the two-party lens, we are radical. And it's okay. Be bold and radical, but be pragmatic. Like, see how – just shut up. Shut up and listen. Because people will tell you what they're scared of, right? Mm-hmm. And people are scared of all kinds of things. Viruses, immigrants, police – authority. They're afraid of authorities that they don't understand. Okay, and so then they call on these institutions to stop them. And that's, I think. Also in Illinois, right. So we have police, right, and we have some new legislation, right, and I don't know all that's in it, but it's more rules for cops. The cops don't need more rules to be accountable. They need less laws so that they can be accountable to very simple laws that protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Well, I agree with you on that aspect. Yeah. Right there.
Back to your question. Sorry, what was your question again? Because I don't feel
I'm talking about the marketing of the Libertarian Party.
Yeah, okay.
For two reasons. Number one, I didn't hear anything about the lockdowns.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if you and I agree on the same thing, that lockdowns are just morally incomprehensible.
They are. And here's the problem with lockdowns, okay? If you voluntarily lock yourself in your house, it's not an issue, you know? But the problem was... Okay, so the problem was that the government lied, right? They lied about the seriousness of this virus, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you lie about the seriousness of the virus, then people are going to be scared when it finally hits home for them, you know? It hurt, you know, my kid got sick. Somebody died. I mean, I know somebody who died from it. I mean, he was, you know, in his 70s, he's a local guy. Local libertarian, but he wasn't calling for lockdowns because he's not afraid. Mm-hmm. He knows that, you know, we libertarians know, especially we Christians libertarians know, it's like, we're going to die. And that's, you know, we accept that. But before we do, we have to live, right? And so lockdowns are counterintuitive to life if they're mandated, because you're telling people, you have to be scared and you need to stay in your house. So you can't go out into the world and do anything because government will take care of you, and government can't take care of you. I mean, you have to take care, you're right. You have to take care of yourself. And so the Libertarian Party message you know, the activists, I think, were saying it. The problem is the party needs to be more careful with what it says, because the party is like an institution, right? And so the job of the party is to boldly express our principles, right? And so we need to be able to do that. We can't be afraid to do that. And so we need to simplify the message to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so in the instance of a pandemic, we should have just, you know, told people the truth and said, like, empower them that, like, look, you can take care of yourself. You can take care of other people. And if you do that, then you can live.
Well, the other message that I really thought was irresponsible, or lack of message, I should be there, is the George Floyd incident and the riots that ensued all over the country. I mean, every single major city, I think, had riots or some kind of protest. And on its surface, I understand the message behind, like, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
But when the Libertarian Party, who's, in my opinion, whose purpose is not to win elections but to get a message out there, when they don't condemn rioting and destruction of property, then they fail to do their job.
Mm. Okay, personally, activists have, I have condemned that because rioting, committing violence and aggression against your neighbor is wrong, no matter what. There's no excuse. There's absolutely no excuse for it. And so, an activist have. So, what is the job of the party? The job of the party is to not condemn people. It's to condemn institutions that have made mistakes. So how did the party, well, I'll ask you, how did you see the party criticize the institutions? Did you see that?
I'm not sure if they can criticize the institutions, but I think that where I don't resonate is the messaging. I'm just going to call it what it is, the wokeism.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed to me as they were talking more about white supremacy and racism and sexism and bigotry, and people are stuck at their houses. They're not allowed to go out, and they're seeing their cities being destroyed. And the Libertarian Party is siding more with the idea that we have to be friendly to everybody, and we have to you know, be nice, and we you know, instead of condemning the things that are causing this problem, and whether or not that's criticizing institutions, I mean, I personally think that institutions basically encouraged this behavior in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I think part of it was, let's get Trump out of office by destroying his cities and, you know, see if he makes a move that, you know, brings in the National Guard. And I could be going out on a ledge here by saying all that kind of stuff, but I think that there was a political agenda behind the riots themselves. And the Libertarian Party not saying anything about that, at least on the national scale, to me, I can't forgive that.
Well, here's an example. Dave Smith, podcaster, comic, and libertarian, he criticized those things, right? He considered wokeism. Condemned wokeism or criticized it, condemned the riots. And so, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm fine with activists condemning things I think are wrong and are against the principles of the party, right? And you should do that. I mean, if you see something wrong, say something about it, you know? And if you have a big platform to say it, then say it, you know? The other parties don't mind doing it. I mean, Sean Hannity, Rachel Maddow, they don't mind condemning things they think are wrong. So libertarians in media, like yourself, like Dave Smith, like Pete Quinones, and Scott Horton, and that's what they do. That's what you do. You see something wrong and you say something about it, and we should, and the party should. And so what is the party? I've been thinking about that. You know, what is a political party? At first, I thought a political party was like a train station, right? Or a tent. And it is kind of those things. It can be those things. But what a strong political party is a castle.
Okay, you're going to have to expand on that.
Yeah, I will. It's a castle for ideals, right? And so what rules over a castle? A king, okay? And if a king has good ideals, then that castle should be prosperous, right? Doesn't mean it'll be perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect castle on earth. And so there's no such thing as a perfect political party. You're right.
you're right that it would be better if everyone was just an independent. Because we all are individuals and we're all independent. But for the time being, we have a system that perpetuates, you know, a two-party system, which is, you know, not optimal for a representative republic, right? But it's kind of, you know, when you have first past the post, when you have systems that function the way that we have, I mean, you're that's just kind of the nature of it. That's how it's going to be. So, but there is a third party, right? The Libertarian Party is the third party. The Green Party was that for a little while, and they couldn't make it. And the problem they couldn't make it is because they were two in one direction, right? And so the Libertarian Party ebbs and flows, right? The castle shifts, right? And that's not good to have a castle that shifts. So the party itself needs to have a strong foundation. And I'm a Mason. So, all right, I come from Mason, so I know how to lay some brick and block. And so I want to help lay a firm foundation for the Libertarian Party castle, and so that it can be a strong third castle in this democratically elected constitutional republic, representative republic. And so how do you do that? Well, you kind of have to... You have to look at the foundation you have, right? So the foundation of this party is the foundation of the country, right? You know, the other two appeal to that and accept it. And so we should appeal and accept that the foundation of this country is the Declaration of Independence, right? We declared our independence. Mm-hmm. We went, you know, so me and you at some point declared our independence from the Republicans and Democrats, and we went to the Libertarian Party, right? And so, and it's okay, you know, you got to come and go, you got to go do what you have to do. I don't blame you, I'm not mad at you. I don't get mad at people when they leave the party. I tell them, please don't go, but if you have to, you know, come on back when you need help, right? And so we have a party that, we have a castle that needs fixing, right? And so we need all the libertarians, all the good libertarians to come back to help us lay that foundation. So how do we do that? We get down to the foundation and fix that first. Because if you don't fix the foundation first, then it doesn't matter what tapestries you put up, what, you know, it doesn't matter if you put up Black Lives Matter, it doesn't matter if you put up LGBT flags, it doesn't matter if you put up the Confederate flag, whatever. These flags don't matter if the foundation is broken, right? So all these people, like, you know, I'm not one of these people, but some people think, you know, oh, the left is infiltrating. And then some people think, oh, the right is infiltrating. And that's these people that have come from this left-right paradigm that we need to break. It's not a left-right paradigm. It's an up-and-down paradigm, right? It's authority and liberty. And so authority is not for us. It's not even for the Libertarian Party, okay? And so what a libertarian wants is liberty, freedom, and responsibility. So how do we get that? So we run candidates that spread a message, right? A pragmatic and radical message. And so if we do that, people will hear it. I mean, you look at the Ron Paul Revolution, he brought a lot of people in. Gary Johnson brought a lot of people into the party. And based on our voting last time, we didn't lose. I mean, we didn't. I'm proof. I came in because Gary Johnson spoke in a way that I could understand. And so we have to have a candidate at the top of the ticket who can speak in a way that people can hear it. And so that's the thing. The top of the ticket, president, governor, whatever's at the top of the ticket needs to be able to express our principles in a way that the people of the country or the state can hear it. So... And that's not the easiest thing to do. But so you have to know what's going on. You know, so we're getting out of a pandemic. That's good, right? So going into 2024, we're looking for somebody who can say, look, here's everything that was wrong. Here's everything that's wrong with the world, right? And we probably need to just pick three things that are big, right? And so what are those probably? What do you think? I mean, my thought would be health, education, and I don't know, give me one more.
The ability to earn one's living, I guess.
Okay.
But you know, John, everybody's going to have a different scale as to, yeah, or a different value system as to what's important to them.
Yeah.
And I want to backtrack what you said, because you likened the Libertarian Party to a castle.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned something about a king, and a king is the one who rules over that.
Yeah.
I guess this is my inherent disagreement with the idea of libertarianism.
Yeah.
Because my understanding is libertarianism is talking about the individual at the basic level, right? Yeah. Which means that there should be no king, right? No ruler. But if you're going to have a political party, you're playing in a sandbox that is politics. Politics is war.
Yeah.
War is, you know, by any other means, politics is like not using violence, but it is. It's verbal violence, right?
Yeah.
So you need to have some kind of leadership, somebody who can portray a message. Let me ask you this question. Yeah. What do you think the purpose of the Libertarian Party really is? Because honestly, it's been around for 50 years. You mentioned this a couple times.
Yeah.
And I think at the presidential level, it's got 1.5% of the vote.
Yeah.
To me, that's not success. And so how does the Libertarian Party, how does it use an ideology of promoting liberty and playing in a game where it's going to be a battle? It's a battle of ideas, and it's literally warfare.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we're a pro-peace party, right? So we only go to war because we want peace, right? That's why we go to war, because it's the last option and we would prefer peace. And so while there is war, good people who understand what good is and what evil is need to go to war. They need to put on a suit of armor. You know, the castle will be there. You know, you fight for your castle, you fight for your, for where you come from. And so libertarians, and they need to know where they come from. And so that starts with themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to know who your family is. So I'm very fortunate. I know my family very well. And so I can go forward with that assurance that I know what my family, you know, the foundation of my family is. And if you know who your family is, you know part of who you are. And so going forward, being an adult, being a father, being a man means you go out and you find righteous wars to fight. And so, and then you have to put on the right armor to fight those wars, and you got to pick the right hills to fight on. So, so you have to go find those righteous hills and fight on them and don't lose.
Okay, I understand what you're saying about that.
I don't know what you'd call it. I guess I read the Bible too much, so I talk like...
No. So people who listen to this show know that I do have guests who are Christians and I speak from a biblical perspective once in a while. One thing that I know about human nature is that when you... Well, I'll tie in human nature and marketing. Mm-hmm. Since we're talking about... I started this talking about messaging and marketing. Human nature demands that people are led.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. People would rather have security than individualism. And so they want to have, it's like the alpha male thing. They want to find that one person who's going to protect them.
Yeah.
That's why they were looking for government to solve the problem of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Okay. And what I see from libertarianism is that you want to make peace, but there's no boldness in it. People want to resonate to a leadership, leadership that is bold.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I'm going to bring in another recent conversation that I think you and I had, or definitely a conversation that's going on within the arena of liberty.
Yeah.
Is these mandates for not just masks, but the passports now.
Oh yeah.
The vaccination passports, right?
Yeah.
We had an incident where the Libertarian Party of Kentucky came out and said, this is kind of like the...
I knew this one was coming.
This is kind of like what's happening in Nazi Germany, right? Yeah. And so I'm going to quote you, John.
Yeah.
This is what you said. You said...
Oh, okay, here we go. Let me hear it.
Let's see if I can find it. The libertarian holds no power, and no one is afraid of it, nor should they be.
Yeah.
To me, that's a weak message, because...
Well, it's not a message. That's just the truth. We hold very few seats of power, right? And so when that's the thing, when we the context of that quote in my head, anyways, hearing it back, is that people don't vote for us because they think that we're losers, which in some ways they are, depending on your standard. I mean, we are growing. That's, as a member of a party, I know that we are growing. And so as we grow, we need to teach and mentor. And so that people see like, oh, okay, they're growing and they're actually doing something with it. So we need to build up that infrastructure. And luckily in Illinois anyways, our party has a very strong infrastructure. People who knew what to do with the vessel of the state party, and they did it. And so yeah, that's not the message. So the message needs to be very concise. It needs to be bold, and it needs to be, can you reread my quote one more time? I need to hear my own words.
So. Well, again, this is taken from something you wrote on Facebook, but you said the Libertarian Party holds no power, which we can agree with.
Yep.
No one is afraid of it. And no one should be afraid of it.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't be afraid of our party, because even if we did hold power, we'd give it up. Or hopefully, I mean, if we are true to our principles, we will acquire power, responsibility. That's what it is. So the Libertarian people run for office, right? Because they see something that needs to be done, sees that something that needs to be fixed, something that's wrong. That's why activists are active, right? Mm-hmm. Is because they act on what they are afraid of. And so if people are afraid of the, if they're afraid of something, they should run, well, I don't know about that. If they're afraid of something, they should act on it and act in a forthright way. And so me and you, you know, we saw something wrong and we came to the Libertarian Party to see how we could work with it, right? So I've stayed and you had to go for now. They'll come back. And I believe in you, Mike. And so when you come back, it will be because you're like, not because you're afraid anymore. It'll be because you're now courageous and you realize, okay, yeah, I can do both these things. You know, I can serve my principles in my life, and I can serve them in the political realm. And you don't have to be afraid of it. You don't have to be afraid of it because you know that and hopefully you can trust that somebody who holds those principles of giving up authority that doesn't belong to them will do that when the time comes.
Do you really think that's realistic, though?
No.
I mean, Lord Acton said that absolute power corrupts absolutely.
I know.
And so human nature dictates that once somebody obtains a position of influence and authority, they're not going to give it up very easily.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Well, yeah. Okay. Let's take this into a Christian way, right? So where does authority lie?
Well, authority lies from the higher power.
There you go.
Right?
There you go. Yeah. And we both accept that premise. Okay. So we accept that premise, me and you, and Christians, if you believe in the Bible, accept that premise, right? So Christians in general should join the Libertarian Party. Why? Because if you believe that, then and you try and make the Libertarian Party a vessel for Christianity, I suppose. You know, that's a tough, tall order, I suppose. But if you do that, then it'll be a good party, right? Or it'll be a party that seeks after God, right? I suppose. I mean,
I think I know what you're trying to say.
For some, here's the thing. For some people, here we go. Okay. I digress. For some people, the Libertarian Party is their church, right? And they get very scared when people try to change it. So, but change is also good and necessary sometimes. And so the Libertarian Party has some good ideas, has lots of good ideas. And so if it cleans up the message and focuses very clearly on that, then we'll do hopefully more good. Or God will do good for us. I don't know.
All right, John. So I wanted to pick up with what you're talking about when it comes to the gospel, since you brought that up.
Yeah, okay.
The early Christian church, between the time of when Christ passed away until Constantine, they wanted nothing to do with politics.
Yeah.
There's a podcast I listen to. I'm going to shout out to my friend Craig, who has a podcast called The Bad Roman Podcast.
Yeah.
And this is a major philosophy that they have, is that the true Christians should want nothing to do with government, should want nothing to do with politics. Their job is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I agree with that, and in my opinion, the government and the sandbox that I call politics really just intercedes in that message.
Yeah.
So for me, it comes down to the fact that there is no purpose to have a political party unless you understand what a political party is meant to do.
Yeah.
A political party is meant to take power
Yeah.
And to use that power to influence other people to have a system of government where everybody can fall under that authority.
Yeah.
That's antithetical to the message of libertarians.
Yeah.
In fact, do you remember who Lawrence Reed was? Lawrence Reed, he wrote a poem called I, Pencil. He's famous for that.
Okay. So I'm not too familiar, but it's basically how much work goes into making a pencil, right?
Right. So he wrote a book called The Free Market and Its Enemy. And basically his premise was there should not be a libertarian party, because the message of libertarianism is we want to destroy the government, we want to have individualism, and you can't play in a sandbox of politics if that's your message. So you brought it up about being bold.
Yeah.
If you're going to run for a position of power, because that's really what you're trying to do, if whether you get to be elected as a mayor, as a governor, or as a president, I don't think that when a person gets there, they're going to be able to tear down that power. But secondly, if they're going to try to gain votes, which is the only way they're going to win, then they have to be bold enough to get enough people to resonate with that message.
Yeah.
The biggest problem is that there is no message. Libertarianism has no solutions to anything.
Well, libertarianism gives you the ability, the flexibility to, having your own authority, I suppose, or trusting your own authority or trusting good authority enables you, empowers you to have power and to serve with it, right? And so, like Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility, right? And so we need to be responsible if we are to have power, right? And we need to stop lying. The party needs to stop lying. The message. Because the message is not we want to tear down institutions.
Mm-hmm.
We want to restore those institutions to be good. We want to restore the Declaration of Independence. We want to restore the Constitution, because they're good. They are the institutions that built this country, right? And so we need to, one, understand those documents and what they mean. We understand. So the Declaration of Independence is the spirit, right, of the country. And so, and the Constitution is how that spirit is carried out, or how the government is designed, right? And so libertarians need to understand both of those things. They need to understand the Constitution. They understand the Declaration of Independence, right? And that way, if we understand both those things, we start there, then you can go into other things, right? You understand those two things, you understand what this party or what this country is. And if you want to be responsible for your country, you need to understand what it is. So you need to understand those documents. You need to understand how your principles married with those institutions can serve. So libertarians don't want to tear down things. We want to serve. And oftentimes we don't know how to serve, because we talk about what we're against instead of talking about what we're for. So we should talk about what we're for. We shouldn't lie to people. So here's the thing. Sure, we're for Black Lives Matter. That phrase, right? But what is that institution? Is there an institution behind it, or are these just words? If they're just words, then they're fine. I can say with absolute certainty, yes, Black Lives Matter, just as much as any other life, And then there's the struggle between Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter, right? So what does Blue Lives Matter? It's an institution, right? It means protect and serve. So those are good things, right? So we need to stop lying about Black Lives Matter. Say those three words are good things, right? Because Black Lives Matter to God, and God protects and serves. And so the Libertarian Party should accept both of these people and bring them together, maybe. We're about to have the trial, right? That's coming up. And so when we do that, we need to unite factions of broken people and be libertarians in the middle and say, look, it's terrible what happened. And when everyone saw the video, everyone felt the same way, right?
I don't know if everyone felt the same way.
The initial reaction was, whoa, that's gruesome, right? And then, like, it split off from there because of the reaction, the lies about it. You know, no one, everyone wanted their own self-righteous, their own justice from it, right? They didn't want justice to be served. They wanted to say what they wanted to say. They wanted for what they wanted to happen instead of saying, okay, justice can't be for everyone, right? But you know, we have an institution that says we all deserve justice. So hopefully justice will be served in this case. But the justice belongs to, well, it belongs to God, but the peace, you know, the people, the person who died,
George Floyd.
There you go. George Floyd. His family, I'm sure, is still grieving. And they have not been allowed to rest because his death was used and politicized for other people's self-righteousness, for the politicians' self-righteousness, for the Libertarian Party's self-righteousness. We need to stop doing that. That's you know, people talk about being kind and nice. It's not kind to use other people's suffering for your self-righteousness.
Yeah, I'm going to interrupt you there for a second, go ahead. John. Here's the dilemma that I think that we face. Because everybody's going to have an interpretation and a value system.
Yep.
So, you know, while we can admit that perhaps George Floyd's family is still grieving, and every single faction of this world is going to use that incident for their own purpose. Yeah. What I see within the Libertarian Party is this division, this fighting amongst each other. Because libertarians don't have a set of values that everyone agrees on.
They do. They just don't know it.
Well, the thing is that they will say that you mentioned a couple of times, we don't want to break anything down.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess the obstacle I'm trying to get over or maybe understand is, okay, we don't want to break it down, but we should be promoting something. What do we put instead?
Oh, okay. Well, all right. There you go. I like that. That helps. So yes, we are a big castle or a big tent, however you want to phrase it, big train station. And if we're in, let's go to train station, right? If we're a train station, right, all the tracks face one direction, right? And there's different trains, you know, caucuses or groups or whatever within the factions, within the party, right? And so some people belong to multiple, some people belong to the one caucus or whatever. And so, you know, you follow those tracks and they all go in the same direction and some get off at different spots and that's fine. You know, you got off, it's up stop and maybe you'll get back on another train as it comes by. But, we have common principles. We in this country have common principles, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so each individual needs to not, especially within the Libertarian Party, and everybody, fine, needs to pick three based on those principles. So life, you have a life, okay? And with that life, what do you do with it, right? And so what you do with it is what your liberty is, right? So you acknowledge your life, you have your liberty, so you do what you want with that liberty, and then everything else is just extra. Pursuit of happiness. So I've encouraged people, just pick three principles that line up with life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, right? Who gave you life? All right. So like for me, okay, I'll give you my three, okay? My God, my parents gave me life, right? Mm-hmm. That's how we all came into this world. Our parents gave us life, okay? And so take from, you know, my parents are conservatives, right? They're not, they're libertarians, but they have a conservative, a right of center bent. They have voted for Republicans, Democrats, libertarians in their lives. And so we take that, we take our life, right? And we serve our parents with it. So, you know, I have to reconcile with my the right, all right? Mm-hmm. That's where I came from. I came from the right. I was never a Republican in name, but I did vote for Republicans. I voted for my first vote for president was Mitt Romney, and because you know that's just what you do. You vote for who your parents vote for the first time, I suppose. And then the second time I voted for president, I voted for Gary Johnson, right? So You know, I need to work with Republicans because I know how to talk to them. You know, I know how to talk to Democrats too. I have friends who are Democrats. I know how to talk to them too, right? And I have family that are Democrats, and I know how to talk to them. But I really know how to talk to Republicans, so I should talk to Republicans, right? And be a libertarian, right? Like Gary Johnson. So my principles are republic, right? Country, republic. Wow, I'm really just figuring this out as I go here. A libertarian republic, right? And so that's the first one. And now going a libertarian republic. Huh, that's interesting. Let's start with two. We'll go from there. What would a libertarian republic look like? And I'll get to three eventually. How about that? So, but start with, you know, start with what you believe in. Figure out what that is. Mm-hmm. And once you do, promote what you believe in. And stop talking about what you're against. No one cares what you're against. They care about what you're for.
Well, that's the problem. I have this conversation with my wife all the time, and I think she would probably side more with you than what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because I do believe you should promote what you believe in.
Yeah.
And the common saying that most libertarians will say is, well, do we have this problem in society? We have this problem in our community.
Yeah.
The free market is going to solve it. To me, that's a non-starter. That's not even an answer.
What does that
even mean?
It's free market will.
Right, but people are not resonating to something that doesn't exist.
We don't have a free market. We're not free people.
Well, that I agree with. We're not free people.
So that it's an answer, but you're right. It's not a very good answer. But like you're saying, if we choose to be free, you know, Christians are able to choose to be free, I suppose. And the libertarians generally choose to be free. You've chosen to be free of a political party for right now. And choose freedom, whatever that looks like for you. Be responsible with it. That'll give you liberty.
John, let's wrap this up.
Yeah, clean it up a little bit.
Since you mentioned, you know, everyone can define liberty.
Yeah.
Coming from John Matthew, how do you define what liberty means to you? Oof.
That is such a good question. And libertarians are the worst at answering it, right? Well, for me, it starts with my faith. All right. So that's, I wouldn't be a libertarian without faith. My mother not only showed me or taught me the word of God through the Bible, she also taught me to investigate into politics. My first lesson, the first election in my life, okay, 2000. So I'm in kindergarten. So at school, you have your mock election. And so I voted for Al Gore in that. So my mom asked me, well, what'd you guys do? Like, oh, we had an election. We voted for president. And I actually thought it was winning president. And so I voted for Al Gore. And she said, why'd you vote for him? I was like, oh, because he's got a funny name. It sounds like Igor. And she just whips back at me. And she looks at me and she goes, you don't ever vote for somebody just because of their name. And I'm like, okay. I didn't know what that meant, but it's true. You don't vote for somebody just because of their name, whether that's their actual name. their actual name. Al Gore, you don't just vote for him because your name. You don't vote for because of their party. You vote for them because of their principles, right? And so if they have good principles, you can vote for them. And it doesn't matter what their name is. It doesn't matter what political party they belong to. It matters, you know, who they serve. And so I serve people that follow after Christ. And I try to serve other people too. I just, you know, that's the thing. It's hard to serve. You can't serve everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't know, but, you know, I believe that God can serve everybody, and he does. He's served me very well. I'm very grateful for that. And so service, the Libertarian Party, we should serve. We should serve as in the political realm, right? We should help people, mm-hmm. You know, and it probably just starts, at the individual level. If you want to be a good... if you want to be a good libertarian, you serve people in your community first, and then you can run for office. So serve first, then you can lead.
I like that. Yeah. I want to look at it this way. Yeah. So the word liberty has a root from the word liber. I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but liber comes from the Greek word that means book. Liber is actually tree bark. They used to write books on tree bark. And so where that word originated from, you get words like library.
That's books. Why everyone thinks we're librarians.
Libertarian, you know, liberty means that you actually have the ability to read books. So to have more liberty means you have more information, knowledge.
You need to read good books.
Good books, right? You know, Rothbard and Mises and all those.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like to read all kinds of different things. But the more information, the more knowledge you have, you know, the phrase is the more knowledge, the more power you have, right? So to have liberty is to have more information, to have more knowledge, right?
So what you're saying is... people want to be good libertarians and need to read the Bible.
Well, so I'll throw that in there. I'm not going to contend with that. But it comes down to this for me. John, in this ever-changing world, this information age we live in, we're going to get all kinds of messages from the left, from the right, from the middle, from the top, from the bottom. Yeah. And it's hard for us to decipher what the truth is and what the not truth is. Yeah. And but really, the more information you have, the better decisions you can make. Now, for me, it comes down to how can I actually use that information I have to influence the greater number of people for good? Will I do that through a political system, through a political party? Or will I do that on my own rights through perhaps entrepreneurism, through perhaps business, perhaps through a podcast? Yeah. Any number of mediums you have to get that information out to teach people that liberty is in their own grasp. Yeah. I mentioned earlier that I believe liberty is not something that you fight for per se, but it's something that already exists. Yeah. It's there for everybody. You can have liberty if you seek it.
Yeah.
And that's why I guess the biggest contention I have is I don't believe that we need a political party to provide that liberty, but rather we need to inform people about how they achieve more liberty in their lives.
And that's, you know, that's been a contentious thing within the Libertarian Party itself. You know, are we something that, are we a party that educates, or are we a party that seeks power? I think that we, go with the word liberty. Libertarianism is freedom and responsibility. So we educate and we become responsible. So we take on positions of responsibility and we educate. And we have to know how to educate so that we can teach others, so we can teach our children. And so libertarians, myself included, should homeschool. Or you know, at least when your kids get home from school, unschool, you know, teach them what you know, you know, and make sure you know good things. So read so that you know good things. Read whatever books will help you. And so a good start would be the Bible, but read whatever else. No, I read the Bible, but I need to read other things too, other works, because they'll help me to teach. And then you can do both things. It's, you know, for, I agree with you. It's all about prioritization. So you should prioritize your family before everything else. So it's all about priorities. So I don't disagree with you, Mike. I agree with you. And so I prioritize my family and I put them first. And in the excess that they are taken well care of, I can go out in the world and I can engage in these political matters.
That's very well said. John, I think that, like I mentioned before, that I agree with 99% of what you have to say. And as I've learned in my evolution over the last year, is that I think both approaches are necessary.
Yes, I agree 100%.
I think that there's going to be some people who are going to be active within the political arena, who are going to do good in the political arena.
Yep.
We have to caution that they don't do bad in the political arena.
Yes.
But as long as they're doing good things, I think that is a necessity. Yep. There's going to be people who are more entrepreneurial, who provide solutions that people are looking for. I think that's needed. I think the agorists out there who are getting out of the system, I think any which way you slice it, as long as people, you mentioned responsibility and taking care of yourself. I think that's the solution at the end of the day. So we'll leave the listeners to decide which avenue they want to take.
Yeah.
John, I want to thank you for coming on. Is there anything that you want to promote? Anything you want to plug? Any last thoughts that you have?
You know, I'm currently chair of a local chapter. So if you live in DeKalb County and you hear this and you want to get involved with the Libertarian Party of DeKalb County, you're welcome to come. And you can find us on Facebook at Libertarian Party of DeKalb County, Illinois. Make sure you add the Illinois. That's important because there's multiple DeKalb counties and you'll go somewhere else probably. And so if you're interested and you live around me, You can do that. If you don't, but you still live in Illinois, you can go to the Libertarian Party of Illinois' page and find out how you can get involved. That's lpillinois.org. And then if you don't live near me and you don't live in my state, you can go to lp.org and get involved with the party there. And, you know, go read the Bible.
All right, John, thank you very much for your time. I want to give a shout out once again to Brian McKender and the Audio Hive Studios. And, you know, this was awesome.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day, John.